The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of RIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Mahdi Rastani.
Last night we started to discuss this topic of the relatives and how the Ahlul Bayt have taught us to treat them and how the Ahlul Bayt have taught us to interact with them. Allow us to begin from here. When you look at the life of the Prophet, you don't find that his relationships were all the same. No, you find the exact contrary to that. You find the exact opposite of that. There were certain relationships of the Prophet, there were certain relatives of the Prophet that the Prophet would spend a lot of time with. There were other relatives that he had maintained ties with them, but he did not value the relationship the same. Not every relationship is the same. Just because Islam says that you have to maintain family ties doesn't mean every single relative is the same. No, some of them are a greater influence on you. Some of them are a terrible influence on you. Some of them have the wonderful akhlaq. Some of them have the worst akhlaq. We all have all sorts of relatives at the end of the day. Islam is not here to say you have to spend the same amount of time with all of them. And you see this in the life of the Prophet very beautifully, because amongst the relatives of the Prophet was none but Ali ibn Abi Talib. And you look at the relationship that the Prophet had with Ali ibn Abi Talib, and then you look at the relationship he had with his other relatives, not even close. He maintained his ties with everybody, yes? But certain relationships he valued more. Certain individuals he spent a lot more time with them because that relationship was much more important. And Ali ibn Abi Talib, in his khutbahs, this is one of the main complaints that he has after the issue of Khilafah came up. Over and over again in his khutbahs, he turns to the Sahaba of the Prophet. He says, you know who I am. You know the type of relationship I used to have with the Prophet and the Prophet used to have with me. He did not have that relationship with any of you or any of his relatives. The relationship he had with me was a different relationship. And you all know this. But now in this situation, you're denying it. And he beautifully explains the relationship that he had with the Prophet. He says, you know what? I used to visit the Prophet. I used to spend time with the Prophet once during the day and once during the night. That's a lot. Imagine you visit a friend once during the day, once during the nighttime. That's a lot of time you're spending together. And then he starts to explain. He says, you know what? When the Prophet, when I used to spend time with him, sometimes I would go to his house. Sometimes he would come to my house. This is the relationship I had with the Prophet. Did the Prophet used to come to your houses? No, you used to go to his houses. Prophet used to come to my house. And very beautifully he says, when I used to go to his house and the wives were there, he would ask them sometimes to give us some privacy. This is a special relationship we have. But he beautifully says, when the Prophet used to come to visit me, he would never ask for Fatima and Hassan and Hussein to get up and leave. This family is special. Just a point on the side. And then he continues, he says, every time we used to sit, I used to just ask questions of the Prophet. The Prophet used to answer. And when my questions were done, I didn't have any more questions, he would start the conversation with me. Did the Prophet spend the same amount of time with all of his relatives? No, not even close. Some relatives you want to spend all of this time with. Some relatives you might just maintain a minimal level. Yes, that minimal level, absolutely wajib. So Islam allows us to manage and balance these relationships. But one thing that Islam wants from us in our marital relationships, in our friendships, and especially in the relationships that we have with our relatives, is the following. And that is the concept of forgiveness. It's not easy. It's not easy. But Islam wants this from us. Because at the end of the day, when you have relatives and you spend time with them, they will say something. God forbid you say something, you make a comment, they say something. At the end of the day, there are times where there's some friction. At the end of the day, there's situations you walk away and you're a bit upset, or they're a bit upset, so on and so forth. Forgiveness is a big key to these relationships. It's not gonna work if people don't approach it with a sense of forgiveness. And who was the pinnacle of this? Who was the best example of this? None but the Prophet himself. Because as we mentioned yesterday, the Prophet didn't have the best relatives. No, not even close. He had relatives that created problems for him. But when that time came where he was in a position of authority, he was in a position of control and power, and their lives were in the hands of the Prophet, that's when he showed them his forgiveness. When did this happen? When the Prophet finally had the opportunity to come back to Mecca. We read about this in history. We don't even understand the significance of it. This is where things completely changed for Islam as a whole and for the Arabian Peninsula as well. Because before that, the Prophet was simply in Medina. Yes, there were other tribes, so on and so forth, that were now starting to believe in him. But Mecca was the stronghold. The moment he took over Mecca, that changed everything forever. So the Prophet is now putting together this army to come and enter into Mecca and conquer Mecca again. And I'm even hesitant to use the word conquer, because the way he did it was almost nothing like conquering a city. Because when you conquer a city, you walk in there, na'udhu billah, you kill people, you do as you wish because you're in a position of authority. Go read history, go see how kings used to do this stuff. And yet the Prophet took over Mecca with almost no bloodshed. Yes, there were certain individuals outside of that, and there were reasons for that, of course. Outside of that, find the mercy of the Prophet. And you read the narrations, this army of Islam came together. And the army was so great that the Prophet, the day before they entered into Mecca, this is happening in the month of Ramadan. Before they entered into Mecca, the Prophet ordered the Muslimin, who had all gathered outside of Mecca, to start up fires. You know these fires you start up if you're staying somewhere? He ordered all of them to start up fires. And Quraysh, some of the heads of Quraysh saw this. And they initially, there were so many fires, they said, no, these aren't the Muslimin. They don't have this type of numbers. This is some other tribe that's trying to attack us. When they came closer, they realized, no, this is the Muslimin. And Abu Sufyan, he surrendered himself before the Prophet even entered into Mecca. So all of this happens, the day comes now where the Prophet is now going to manifest his power and his authority over these relatives who have been bothering him and torturing his companions for 20 years. 13 years roughly, the Prophet is in Mecca. The Fath of Mecca takes place 8th year after Hijrah. If you do the math, you're looking at 20, 21 years. Persecution, torturing, creating battles, Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, so on and so forth. The day came, and Abu Sufyan has already surrendered, and you already start to see the mercy and the forgiveness of the Prophet. He said, if you stay in your home, you don't have anything to worry about. If you come and you stand around the Kaaba, you don't have anything to worry about. I will give one of my companions a flag. If you stand under his flag, you have nothing to worry about. So many avenues for you to not worry about anything. If someone didn't know, he would think that this is just some random city he's taking over, not the city that's been creating problems for him for 21 years. Then what happened? This army starts to march into Mecca. Look at this moment that shows you the akhlaq of our Prophet. This army is marching into the city of Mecca. And the person who is holding the flag of the Prophet in this particular situation, according to one narration, Sa'd ibn Ubadah from Medina. And he is walking into Mecca and he passes by Abu Sufyan. And he turns to Abu Sufyan and he says, you know what, Abu Sufyan? Al-yawm yawmul malhama. Today is the day we strike back. Today is the day of the epic battle. Today is the day that we take revenge. Malhama. And this lines of troops continued. And the Prophet now was passing by Abu Sufyan. He was stationary and the army was passing by. And then Abu Sufyan turned to the Prophet. He said, Muhammad, I've heard you said, Al-yawm yawmul malhama, you're going to kill your relatives today. Is that what you're going to do? And the Prophet turned towards him. He said, no, Sa'd ibn Ubadah is wrong. Al-Yawm, today is not Yawmul Malhama. Today is Yawmul Marhama. Today is the day I forgive. And all of these relatives who had wronged him for so long, they gathered around the Kaaba. And the narration says that the Prophet turned towards him, towards them, and he said, what do you think I should do with you? What do you expect of me? They said, Ya Rasulullah, we 100% you are right. We have nothing to come back to you with. But you are our relative. We expect forgiveness from you. We expect kindness from you, compassion from you. And then look at the lines that the Prophet uttered, so beautiful. In those moments, these are relatives who have been bothering him for 20 years. It's almost as if he forgives them in 20 seconds. He turned to these relatives of his. He said, I will say to you the same thing that my brother Yusuf said to his brothers. He said, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. There is no blame upon you today. يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. Allah will forgive you. And it's very interesting. Nowhere did the Prophet say, I forgive you.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.